regarding what our partnership is accomplishing around the world, but I want to encourage you regarding the kingdom work that God has given to you right here in Savannah and wherever he gives you influence in this local area. You ready to get blessed? All right. Hanukkah. It's a time to remember. We remember the faith and courage of the Maccabees and the miraculous intervention of God on behalf of his people, the Jewish people, the people of Israel. And as my wife so wonderfully prayed and spoke this morning, we remember that the miracle of oil is also a miracle of oil for us. Why? Because supernatural strength, empowerment from the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is ours and it never runs out. And so we serve the God of miracles who dwells in us, because the same oil of the Holy Spirit that led Yeshua to go around doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil are in you and me. That same oil, that same Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. Do you agree with that? But I want to ask you a question. What if Mattathias and Judah, the Maccabee, what if they didn't stand up and they didn't act in faith and courage? And that's the title of my message today, What If? Not long ago, I heard the story of a woman from Australia. She was an orphan and sadly sexually abused as a child for 12 years. She was broken, she was hurting, and she was angry. But someone cared enough to come into her life, to love on her, and to share the good news of Yeshua with her. She got born again into the kingdom, and step by step, she allowed Yeshua to heal her, to develop her faith and character, and make her the overcomer that she was destined to be, that you and I are destined to be. And today, though in the natural she is an unlikely candidate, she leads an international ministry that is serving thousands of women that have been victims of sex trafficking. What if someone had not cared enough to show her the love of Yeshua and give her the good news of his salvation? There's a lesson in this. God knows how to take broken lives, redeem them, and make them beautiful and a blessing to those around. Do you agree? But in every story of redemption, there is someone who acted. There was someone who cared and brought the reality of God's love, Yeshua's salvation, to that person that was healed and delivered. Almost 40 years ago, I met my best friend. I didn't know she would be at the time. And my future partner in ministry, my beloved wife, Chantal, give a wave to everybody, honey. And four children and nine grandchildren later, almost 40 years together and loving it more and more. But I met her when she was a young woman in the New Age, living a wild life. No one had ever shared the gospel with her. What if I did not? Perhaps she would have heard from someone else, perhaps not. It was really the difference between life and death for her, because she was living on the edge. And when she heard the good news, she eventually committed her life to Yeshua, and she has blessed thousands of people around the world. Or better said, through her, God has blessed thousands around the world. There's a lesson in this. We need to care about the people around us, and we need to open our mouths. We need to care about the people around us and open our mouths. Last night I was having dinner with Rabbi Jude, Chantal, and I, and there was a waitress named Abby that was serving us. And I have a little habit. Anybody who serves me, they automatically get prayer inside of me. And I asked the Lord, what can I do to bless them? And so I had the privilege of speaking to Abby, and I shared with her how much God loves her, that the Creator of heaven and earth wants a relationship with her, and that he has a good plan for her life. And by the way, I asked for permission. I said, hey, do you have a minute? I got some good news for you. She said, I haven't heard any good news lately. Yeah, that'd be great. And then she said, Tomorrow's my birthday. Actually, today I'll be 21 years old, and I've been a little discouraged lately. And what you said to me encouraged me so much. And then I said one more thing. I said, Abby, can I share one more thing with you? And she was all ears. And I said, the key to all of the good things that God has planned for your life, they are uncovered when you develop a close walk with Yeshua. And she said, I'm going to remember all this. I'm going to remember all this. This is like the best thing that's happened to me recently. This is going to impact my life forever. And then I said, one more thing. I think it'd be a good thing to get to know Yeshua a little better, Jesus, I said, because I didn't know if she'd know the name Yeshua. If you read the New Testament, the stories of Jesus, and you started maybe with the book of John. And she said, I'm going to do that. I have a New Testament at home. And so the lesson is, we need to care about people, and we need to also open our mouths and demonstrate both through our heartfelt, it starts in the heart, care. We need to show it in our words, and of course also in our actions, and we'll talk about that as well. 40 years ago, an Italian man named Michael talked to me about Jesus and explained the gospel. I had never heard. I thought Jesus' last name was Christ and that he was a Catholic that hung up in Catholic churches. Michael spent a lot of time with me. He answered my questions. He invested in me. He pastored and discipled me. My life was changed. And since then, God has privileged me, a very unlikely candidate, because I used the name of Jesus often before I was a believer, if you know what I mean. Not in a very becoming or good way. And God has privileged me to serve around the world, an unlikely candidate. I never dreamed of this. But step by step, Yeshua healed me, sanctified me, developed my faith and character, taught me how to walk out on the water of his word, to take some risk. But what if Michael didn't come? Didn't care, didn't share. There's a lesson in this. We need to lovingly invest in other people's eternal destinies. I want to even say we need to sacrificially and lovingly invest in other people's eternal destinies and relationship with God. We need to develop relationships with others for their good and their blessing. It takes time and sacrifice, but the love of God in us requires us. In 1995, the Lord called me and my wife to take our four children to the land of Belarus. It was a broken land. People were living on $60 to $80 a month. They had been deceived by the atheistic communistic empire for 70 years. They didn't know what to believe, but they were hungry for truth because they had been oppressed and deceived for so long. By God's grace and hard work from our side, we were blessed to plant four Messianic Jewish congregations in the land, congregations that we still oversee, to begin a ministry to Holocaust survivors, orphans, children and families battling cancer, and the poor. Hundreds came to the Lord, were immersed in water, became disciples of Yeshua, including a number of leaders in the Jewish community of Belarus. But what if we had said to the Lord, Lord, move to another country? The sacrifice is too great. They speak another language. We don't know it. The culture is different. What if we said no? Some of you might say, well, God would have sent someone else. I say maybe, because we know that there were other people called to Belarus about the same time that we were, and they decided not to go. And we understood that if people went in the 90s when we went, that there would easily have been Messianic Jewish congregations planted in every major city in Belarus, which is has a history of Jewish people living there for a long, long time, and there are still a lot of Jewish people in the nation. And yet, they didn't come. And in some of those cities, to this day, there are no congregations. Fortunately, the Lord led me and my wife and our team to go to four cities and plant these congregations. So we must remember, each of us has a unique role to play. God is gracious. God is merciful. but he wants us to faithfully play our role. You might be a hand, play your role. You might be a mouth, play your role. You might be a leg, play your role. We need everyone to play a role in the body of Messiah. Do you agree with that? Amen. So faithfully play your role. Never give up. Never quit. Never minimize what God wants to do through you. Never, never, never. You might be amazed at what God wants to do with you. That's why I'm telling you stories of people, and you know this already, but I'm just speaking it to refresh it in you. Stories of people who are unlikely in their own selves, but God takes the unlikely to do the amazing because he works through us, in us, and through us. Today, we're taking another step of courage in the land of Belarus. Can you throw up that, we're going to put the collage of the Messianic Jewish Center up. We're taking another step of faith and courage together with our leadership team on the ground. We made a decision against all odds to build the first ever Messianic Jewish synagogue and ministry center in the history of the nation. That's, yes, hallelujah. That's like the first ever in Georgia or the first ever in the United States, although Belarus is a lot smaller. So this is the first ever. And you can see this 10,000, this is what it's going to look like when it's finished. This 10,800 square foot building on the top left is going to be used by God, we are convinced, to impact the non-believing Jewish community in ever-increasing ways. God's already given us favor with the non-believing Jewish community, but increase and impact in increased ways around the whole nation. You can see the aerial view on the top right, and you can see that on the lower right, we've now completed the foundation and the basement. And in order to move into the next phase, to put all the outside walls up and the roof and the doors and the windows, we're going to need another $50,000 to accomplish this. And the members of our congregations, I just want to share this with you, are sacrificing. They're giving and sacrificing. But the average wage today in Belarus is $350 per month. Therefore, we obviously need friends from more prosperous nations like our nation here in the United States to help us. So if God so moves you, this is an opportunity for you to partner with us and your brothers and sisters on the ground in Belarus to see this God-given dream, this God-given vision realized. So just keep that in your prayers. And we have a unique situation right now in December. Every gift that's given in December, generous partners of Reach Initiative International will match those gifts. So every gift you give in December has double impact because it's matched dollar for dollar. And I want to call your attention to the newsletter that you received. And inside that newsletter is a response card. You can use that card to give by cash, check, or credit card. Or you can just sign up for our newsletter here, or we'll be at a table outside. Or you can go to our website, reachii.org, to make your intent known. I just share this opportunity with you. If God moves on your heart, whatever the Lord says to do, respond. And this is the best way to live in every area of life, right? And in this newsletter, I want to call your attention to a story here that you don't want to miss. And there's some other great stories here. The lead story is about Holocaust survivor Irina. We have been serving Holocaust survivors for 23 years, loving on them, serving, praying, unconditional love, bowing the knee, loving and serving. And the head story here is, how do you believe in a God who would allow the Holocaust? You don't want to miss Irina's story in this newsletter. And if anybody listening out there wants to get a hold of this, you can sign up for our newsletter online, but you also, we can't send this via email. So if you want this newsletter, please send us your snail mail address, your home address, and we'll be sure to mail this to you. I want to continue with another story of a Holocaust survivor that has deeply impacted my life, my wife's life and many others' lives. His name is Lev Simonovich, and I'd like you to hear Lev on this video share from his heart, and I think you'll be greatly moved as I am. 99 in 1 month, and he said, I believe my relationship with the Lord and all of you is going to support me and extend my life. Put up that next photo of Lev. We just celebrated his 100th birthday with him. And this is me and my wife Chantal and our granddaughter Eliana. Lev is sharp as an arrow. And during his 100th birthday, he had guests from Israel, from Europe, leaders of the Jewish community. And during that celebration, I said, Lev, you shared with me a while back about your view on life and eternity. Would you mind sharing that again? And he just let it all out. And this is what our partnership is accomplishing. You know, so I thank God for your prayers and for your financial support, because together we're seeing lives transformed like the lives of Lev Simonovich, who now understands that life does not end with death, that Yeshua will usher him into eternity. Hallelujah. He is a beautiful guy. And I want to tell you also that in the past 18 months alone, 32 Holocaust survivors have prayed to receive Yeshua. This is because our teams keep loving, serving, bowing the knee, and praying. And many of these 32 are now reading the Bible and praying in the name of Yeshua, because our teams stay close like family and we teach them and help them grow in the Lord. So thank you again for being a part of what God is doing amongst our Jewish people and Holocaust survivors in particular. So what's the lesson of us going to Belarus? The lesson is, obey the Lord in all things, at all times, no matter what the price he asks you to pay. This is the lesson. Obey the Lord in all things, at all times, no matter what the price he asks you to pay, because we are his disciples. And he says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find it. And so not only do you become an ever-increasing blessing to others, and I know you know this, but you find yourself. You find yourself. You find who you were created to be when you live a lifestyle of taking risk, stepping out in faith, and obeying Yeshua in every circumstance, no matter how much it takes you out of your comfort zone, and no matter what price you need to pay. So I want to encourage you in this. You know this, but I want to encourage you on this Hanukkah. Let's rededicate ourselves to this kind of Yeshua-style living and ministry. He wants to empower you to do exploits with him right where you live. He may not take you to foreign land, or he may. That's his choice. But for sure we know he wants to empower you to do exploits right where you live, amongst your neighbors, amongst your co-workers, amongst those that you meet in the supermarket, in the beauty salon, in the barbershop. Do you agree with that? Shout amen and tell Yeshua, Hineni. Hineni. Hineni like never before, Lord. I've been shouting Hineni for 40 years. 41. See, I became a believer when I was -3. All right. And I want to shout it louder than ever, because I believe there's more. The best is yet to come, because we serve an infinite, loving, and powerful God. Think back to your life, you. Who came and loved on you and shared the good news? What if that person didn't come out of their comfort zone? What if fear of rejection or insecurity kept them quiet? Where would you be? And now think of the lives you have already touched and impacted for Yeshua. And now the question is, who out there in this world that we live in is traveling the broad road to destruction and waiting for you? Who out there is lost in darkness and waiting for you to bring the light and love of the lover of their soul, Yeshua? Who's out there for you, waiting for you now, today, tomorrow, and the day after? I believe there are many, and I believe you're going to go. You're going to care. You're going to talk. You're going to develop relationships, invest for their good, their relationship with God and their eternal destiny. I know some of you might be saying to yourselves, well, Rabbi Stewart, you don't understand. I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist, and I'm introverted. I'm not sure what to do. I'm afraid I'm going to do the wrong thing. I'm not so good at loving people. People might reject me. Well, this is what I have to say. We all know that the enemy of our soul is working together in agreement with our flesh and wants to keep us quiet and wants to keep us from loving people and wants to keep us from being useful in Yeshua's hands to bring his love and salvation to people who are desperately wandering in darkness and on the broad road to destruction. These obstacles and hindrances are real and keep us from fulfilling the Great Commission and loving people into the kingdom of God one at a time. This is what we model and teach for all of our disciples, for all of our congregants. Love people into the kingdom of God one at a time. And there are some real hindrances, and I battle them myself, even today. But I'm aware of them, and I'm aware they're not a friend to Yeshua, and they're not a friend to me, and they're not a friend to the people that he wants to love on and reach out to through me. So I want to dig in briefly to a few of these hindrances. I'm not an evangelist, you might say. And that's okay. I'm not an evangelist either, believe it or not. That's not my gifting in the kingdom of God. But God spoke to me many years ago, and he said, I want to use the example of your life and Chantal, your wife's life, as people who are not evangelists, but carry my heart for the salvation of the Jewish people and all people. So I'm not an evangelist either. It all starts here. When our love for God is hot, then automatically our love for people is hot because Yeshua came to seek and to save the lost. Yeshua came to seek and save the lost, Luke 19:10. I'm not an evangelist. You might not be an evangelist. I want to give you a few things that help me. I understand that people are not a target of my evangelism. They're a target of his love working through me. And when his love works through me, it's big, it's supernatural. And of course, I'm concerned about their eternal destiny and relationship with God because that's part of true godly love. You agree with that? I also want to encourage you to practice the value of biblical hospitality. It's a very strong Jewish value. Open your home. There's still time even to light some candles for Hanukkah and play some dreidel with people you know. Or perhaps you can invite not yet believers to your home for Erev Shabbat dinner or tea in your home. And if you don't know how to do an Erev Shabbat celebration, just do a simple thing. Learn from someone else how to do a very simple Erev Shabbat celebration, a Shabbat evening, Friday evening celebration. God used our hospitality when we first went to Belarus and that of another couple that joined us to have people in our home. And my wife did an amazing job with this. We would have anywhere from 7 to 25 people in our home on Friday evening for an Erev Shabbat celebration. And many of those people who were loved on heard the good news and became members and now servants, ministers in our congregation. We can do this. God wants to use, this is a lesson, God wants to use your generous heart and hospitality to bring love and light to those who are lonely and lost. I want to read to you Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, the words of Yeshua. And this is a paraphrase from the Message Bible, but I think it brings it home beautifully. Listen to this. This is Yeshua speaking. Let me tell you why you are here, speaking to us. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, How will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. This is Yeshua talking, not me. Then, next verse. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you do not think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light lampstand, on a light stand. Now that I've put you there, on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house and be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, your generous Father in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that powerful? Second hindrance, fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of making mistakes. It's uncomfortable. It takes us out of our comfort zone. I want to tell you a story about Chana. Chana was a member of our congregation in Minsk. She made Aliyah, immigrated to Israel. And after a number of years living in Israel, she came with us to India. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about India, where we have an outreach center, a training center for young believers and young adult believers, and an outreach center to Israeli seekers. So Chana came with us to India. And we were training people to do what I call compassion-based, spirit-empowered outreach, to love on people and be empowered by the Ruach to share the good news. And when Chana was there, she couldn't get the breakthrough. Day after day, she just couldn't overcome herself to really minister to anyone. And then one day when we were having an outreach in the cafe, she fell asleep and we were all wondering, where's Chana, Chana? And then she showed up. She got the breakthrough that night. When I met her later on in Israel, she shared these things with me. She said, I was so depressed, I thought I just should leave. What good am I here in India? I should just go home. And then somehow I overcame myself. And you know what went on in my mind? I was thinking about all of the people I know in Israel that are not believers. And they're all bold. If they're into money, they're bold about it. Israelis are bold. They gotta be. They're fighting for their lives. They got enemies within and enemies without. If they're into immorality, they're bold. If they're into the Kabbalah or the New Age, they're bold and they're loud. Whatever they're into, they're bold and they're loud about it. And she said, I thought to myself, I have the answer to life and I'm quieter than a mouse. And she said, I made a decision, I'm going to be bold. And since I got back from India, every one of my coworkers I've met with and shared about how Yeshua changed my life. You know, your story is the best thing sometimes you can share. And she said, they all liked it. They all wanted to hear more. I hope Chana's story encourages you to be bold, to be bold. This is the sunrise on the right. My wife designed it with an architect. And sunrise is a lighthouse for Israeli seekers in the Himalayas of India. And it is a training center for young adult believers. A lighthouse for Israeli seekers, a training center for young adult believers. And I want to invite young people to consider two opportunities to join us. One, if you're 21 to 35-ish, every September I hold a training and outreach. And you can join me there in September of 2019. Contact us through our website, reachii.org, if you want more information, or come talk to us at the table after the service. And every summer, this is another opportunity. So this is in India. And the other opportunity is in Belarus. We will be holding our 15th annual Camp Chalotzim, where we serve about 120 teens and children. And the counselors and workers at the camp are about 30 to 35 of the 18 to 30-ish year old young adults in our congregations. And we invite you, if you're between 18 and 30, to join us this July at Camp Chalotzim. So you can check our website for more info, reachii.org, or come talk to me and my wife. So young people, we are invested in empowering the younger generations to impact their world for God. And so we invite you to join us as our friends and partners at Sunrise or Camp Chalutzim. Third hindrance, real quick. I'm an introvert. Okay, it may be harder for introverts. But the second commandment, the second great commandment is for all of us to love our neighbor as myself, to love my neighbor as I love myself. And my wife happens to be an introvert, and she has found her ways in the Lord to love on people and to do deeds of service that open the door to share the good news. Chana was an introvert too. So it doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert. God made you this way, and he still said, I want you to participate in the Great Commission, and I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. And you can follow our modus operandi and love people into the kingdom one at a time. Introverts sometimes pray a lot better than us extroverts, so you can be praying like crazy in the background and doing nice things and kind things and loving on people in the foreground. God has his way for you. Many of you have already found your way, whether you're an introvert or extrovert. And I'm just kind of putting some wind, some fire, reminder. And others of you need to find your way. Some of you are high school students. And you say, junior high school students. And I say, don't fit in, stand out. If you are a junior high school student and a high school student, don't fit in, stand out. You are the light of the world, Yeshua said. You. And Yeshua loves to do cool things through young people. You know, when he chose his 12 disciples, they were all teenagers as far as we understand. Maybe they were young adults in their 20s. Maybe. But probably they were teenagers. So Yeshua loves to do great things through teenagers. Number 5, hindrance. I don't feel equipped. I don't know the right Bible verses to share. I don't know how to explain God's plan of salvation. I'm afraid people will ask me a question I cannot answer. I won't know the answer. I might say the wrong thing. Okay, I get it. You're not equipped. What do you do if you're not equipped? You get equipped. I needed to and continue to need to learn the skills of sharing the love and good news of Yeshua with others. I'm intentional about learning and getting equipped more and more. Even though I equip others, I want to be more equipped. Okay? How do you get equipped to do a new job? You learn. You get intentional. You make decisions. I'm going to learn what I need to learn. You can learn this. It's not so hard. Make it a goal and a lifelong learning process. How do you become good at violin or sports? What do? Somebody help me out. You practice. You study a little bit and you practice a lot. You study, practice, right? Okay, that's what you got to do. So if you're not equipped, get equipped. There's plenty of great resources out there. You can check with your rabbi and Rebbetzin. It's not so hard to get equipped step by step. You'll get better. I remember when my daughter first started playing violin, it sounded like, wow, it was like an arrow going through, you know? And then after a while, it started sounding a little bit like music, you know? And then after a while, it sounded like music. Well, same thing with learning how to love on people and sharing the good news of Yeshua. It may sound rough at the beginning, but after a while, it's going to be beautiful music in the hands of the great director, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Do you believe that? Amen. Okay, let's see. We've got a few more minutes, so I want to share with you a couple of more practical things that are going to be helpful to you, I believe. These are 3 of my practices or spiritual disciplines. I'm not perfect at any of this, but these are habits and disciplines that help me create a bridge between what I see in the Bible, what I believe in the Bible, and my everyday life, specifically that I am a co-laborer with Yeshua to make disciples of the people of Israel and the people of the nations. So I see it in the Bible. It's the truth of the Bible. I believe it, but I want a bridge between what I believe and how I live. So I've learned that I need to create certain spiritual disciplines and habits in my life to help me along. And so I'm going to share just a few of them. I have many of them, a few of them that I hope will be helpful to you. Number one, I seek intimacy with Yeshua all day. I want to tune in to Yeshua throughout my day. I want the peace of God to guide my life and the love of God to be manifest through my life. I want to carry His heart of compassion, His heart of love for all people, believers and not yet believers. I'm intentional and decisive about this. Number two, I pray for opportunities to love on people and share the good news with them. I say, Lord, send them to me and me to them. My antennas are up. I'm looking for opportunities. I want to create them. You're creating them. I want to tune in. I want to go with you. Okay? This is another habit. I'm intentional. I'm decisive about this. This is the way I want to live day after day, one day at a time. Okay? And I told you last night about a wonderful experience with the waitress. I have lots of these. I want to have many stories to tell every week. I want you to know, I'm confessing now, and you can pray for me. I'm addicted. I'm addicted to the love of God flowing through me toward others. It is addicting. I love it. I was made for this. You were made for this. You were made for this. That's why it's the second great commandment, not the second great suggestion. We're made for this. I'm addicted. I want to become more addicted. Number three, I regularly ask myself and take my spiritual temperature on this. Are you distracted by the cares of this world? Yeshua warned me about this in His word. Stuart, are you distracted by the cares of this world? Are you too anxious about things, worried, rather than dwelling in the peace and love of God? Where are you at, Stuart? And sometimes, to my great disappointment, I find I'm more anxious and worried than I am full of peace and love. I'm more distracted than I am focused on seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness. And when I see myself this way, I ask the Lord to forgive me for wasting the life that He's given me, for wasting His time. Because worry is no friend. Fear and anxiety are no friend. They accomplish nothing good. They're destructive. And I'm wasting my time and His. When I miss opportunities to love on people and I see it, I say, Lord, forgive me, revive me, stir me up, strengthen me. I'm weak, but You're strong. Your strength is perfected in my weakness. Help me to lean on You and not get distracted. So Hanukkah is the feast of the rededication of the temple and the feast of lights. And the scriptures say in Romans chapter 12, in light of the amazing, incredible, I'm paraphrasing, awesome mercy that we have received through Messiah Yeshua, it is your reasonable, spiritual, right, only response to give yourselves, your bodies, as a living sacrifice to Yeshua. For you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, Rabbi Shaul says in another place. And so I want to invite you, maybe we can get Jen up here on the keyboard. I want to invite you to rededicate your life, your body, your temple to loving people into the kingdom of God and co-laboring with Yeshua to make disciples of the people of Israel and the nations. And Hanukkah is the festival of lights. So that as you rededicate your temple, your body, to the Lord in this regard, you are saying, shine your light through me in a bigger and brighter way than I can even ask or imagine. Because I know people need it. I know how much I needed it. Man, I was so lost.
I was so messed up. I'm so grateful that Yeshua came after me in the person of an imperfect vessel named Michael. I'm so grateful. He was so imperfect, but Yeshua came after me through him, and he loved on me, Yeshua did, and Michael served me, invested in me, gave me his heart and time. It all starts in the heart. It all starts in the heart. So I want to invite you now to just come forward right now. If you want to rededicate your temple to the service of God to fulfill the Great Commission to the people of Israel and nations, come up. If you want to rededicate your temple to shine brighter than ever before, come on up here. I want to pray for you. And for those of you that are watching online, you just kind of join in. You just kind of join in. And as you kind of just stay quiet before the Lord, join me in one other thing. It's kind of a practice before I even pray for you. Father, I know that you love people way more than I can, and you sent Yeshua to die for our sins and rise, and he rose from the dead. He's the lover of our souls. He's the way of life. He's the reality and truth. He's the way for my Jewish people and for all people. So I want to ask if there's anybody in this audience or anybody listening or watching online, if you have not yet opened your heart to the love and salvation that Yeshua gives, that you have not yet put your faith like Lev did, that he will not only live with you forever on this earth, but live with you forever in eternity. That's Yeshua because he rose from the dead. He's coming into your life now, and he's asking you to surrender, to accept his free gift, his grace gift of forgiveness of sins. We've all sinned. And the promise of walking through this life on earth and then taking us into eternity. If you've not given your life to Yeshua, pray this prayer with me, if this expresses your heart. Heavenly Father, I've experienced today your truth and your love. I believe Jesus, Yeshua, died for my sins and rose from the dead. Forgive me, Lord, my sins. Take the throne of my life now. Yeshua, thank you for giving yourself to me. I now give myself to you. I proclaim you as my Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Thank you again, Yeshua. Thank you again, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, I suggest that you meet with Rabbi Jude and Jen or the leaders here, or you contact the congregation so that they can help you grow. You're a newborn baby in the kingdom of God. And so they want to help you to grow. They're loving, caring people, and they'll help you to grow. Amen. We send blessing to you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And now, for everybody here who's rededicating their temple, and everyone online who is rededicating their temple to shine their light, to allow the light of Yeshua to shine through them more brightly than ever before, for all those around, especially Jewish people and non-Jewish people that do not yet know the love and salvation of our God. I want to pray for you. I want to thank you for each and every person standing here, each and every person sitting, and everyone in the audience, Lord God. These are those that have been born again into your kingdom. They have already experienced and tasted that you are good.
Their sins are forgiven. You've come to dwell in them by the Holy Spirit. And they are your beloved sons and daughters. Beloved sons and daughters. And today here, Lord, they are here to say to you, Hineni, here I am. And to rededicate their temples, their bodies, as living sacrifices to you. To allow you to take the throne of their life, the driver's seat of their life. To obey you, no matter what the cost, and to love on people and sacrifice for their well-being and their relationship with you and their eternal destiny. I pray, Father, that you would take down every stronghold in their lives that hinder them. All of the fears, we break the power of it in the name of Yeshua. I pray that you would give them strength and motivation to be intentional day after day, to be overcomers, to be bold like Hannah, and to love on people and shine their lights, and to trust you to do above and beyond all that they could ask or imagine. Fill them afresh with your Ruach. Fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit. So like never before, their light will shine in rivers of living water, rivers of love, rivers of goodness and kindness and truth will flow out of them. And Father, help them to persevere when it's hard and make them addicted to your anointing, to love on and serve others. Thank you for each and every one of them. Some are likely, some are unlikely, but really we're all unlikely. And you want to do exploits through each of them as day by day and step by step they continue to resubmit their lives to be bright lights and to make disciples of the people of Israel and the nations. Thank you, Father, for your great love and mercy. Thank you for each and every one of them. Bless their families. Provide supernaturally. Show them your glory in fresh new ways. I ask in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, it's always a joy to be here with Rabbi Jude, Jen, and all of you. Again, I want to call your attention to this newsletter, and if people online want to get it, contact us at reachii.org. Irina's story of how do you believe in a God who would allow the Holocaust. Irina is a Holocaust survivor herself. We need your snail mail address along with your email address for you to get this. So if you want that, we also tell some amazing stories about God working in the lives of orphans and others. So, and remember, we have a matching gift fund now. Every gift you give during the month of December is matched dollar for dollar. So please prayerfully consider during this season the opportunities to partner with us either by going overseas with us or to pray or to give financially. We thank God for each and every one of you and for whatever the Lord calls you to do. Okay, blessings and shalom, shalom.